Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Human Podcast. We're back. Fucking doing a podcast just for my mother. Just for my nice old mother. That really? Way she can hear her baby. That way she can hear, you know, the cries of, you know, her child.
I'm gone.
I know. Like I do these intros in order to like stop her from telling her friends. Because what?
I also get an introduction.
My wife is like, let me finish introducing the podcast, and then I'll introduce who's in the podcast.
Read.
That's not how these go. This is a podcast.
Fine.
I decide how it goes.
Mm.
So, I mean, I am the one that pays for it. So.
You are the one that paid for it.
So yeah, I make this to where my mother does not want to share this with other people. She's like, oh, my son made this. Look at this macaroni art of a penis. You know, like that's essentially what it is. So she does not put it on the fridge. She fucking hides it until I forget about it and then throws it away quietly. So that's the goal. But we got me, Alex the Truck, as your host. We got my wife, who is over here incessantly poking me.
Yep.
So she can fucking be, tell them I'm here too. And then we got Courtney. I'm eating guacamole del taco.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, like, I have to eat slow.
Yep.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, if you go to a place like Del Taco, Taco Bell, any of these fast food Mexican restaurants, like, you don't deserve to get good food. Like, anytime I go to a Taco Bell, like, I don't expect it to be good. I just expect all of the bad shit to be there. Like, you know, if I order fucking, you know, 4 burritos of diarrhea, I want all 4 burritos of diarrhea to be in my bag. That's it. I don't care how bad the fucking diarrhea burritos are. I just want them all there. And I don't care that you're a sophomore in high school. Fucking get it done, dumb shit. Am I wrong here? Like,
oh my god, so I've been like eating like, I haven't had McDonald's in forever, unless we could get McDonald's. And, like, it fucked up my stomach, and then it fucked up my GI tract, and I didn't have a solid shit for, like, 7 days. And then on day 8, immediately constipated. It has been awful. Never eating McDonald's again. I have been wrecked.
Yeah, why do you think I don't take us out to McDonald's, like, ever?
You don't take someone out to McDonald's.
Like, you take them there if you want them to, like, die. In fact, McDonald's...
super freaking, like, gassy when I went there, and sometimes constipated.
Yeah.
So, I used to have a coworker, and I won't name him, because I don't know if I'm allowed to, but he was going to a McDonald's in, like, the dead of winter, on his lunch break, so everything was copacetic. And he's walking in, slips on the sidewalk, fucking hits his head on the curb, and it saved his life from going into fucking McDonald's. He almost fucking walked in that bitch and fucking ordered food. And like, the universe is like, no! Hit your head and fucking, you know, lose cognitive ability.
What does copacetic mean?
Like, all good.
Okay. Okay. Coping.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I never heard the word before.
It's a big word.
It is. It has lots of syllables, and a hard C is always appreciated.
See, sometimes I'll use big words, and I'm not sure if I'm using it correctly.
Oh my god, right?
Like the Princess Bride. It's like, you keep on using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Yeah, it's like, fuck. And then, like, someone will always come up and just tell you. You're like, you're an idiot. I'm like, ugh. Well, whatever. You don't know who I am, so doesn't affect me. I mean, I do karaoke in front of fucking people. And I do comedy in front of people. which I haven't fucking put out my last comedy thing, but you know, you'll get a couple. I put out gun content, so you're gonna get a bunch of gun content this week because Labor Day, so that's why that didn't happen. But I honestly should have just like gone back to the fucking archives and like found something back in the day. It's like, oh, here's when I was really bad at fucking comedy.
Yeah, so you can see how you improved. It's always a good feeling.
You know what's a bad feeling, though?
What?
Is when you go back and look at how you've improved and you were better back in the day. When you're like, oh, my first set was amazing and now I am dog shit.
That's just beginner's luck.
I'm like, I've hit my peak. It's like hitting your peak in high school, and then like everything is downhill from there, but thinking you're still good.
You do not hit your peak. You decide when your peak is.
But you know these people, right? Like these fucking, you know, girls that are like, I'm so hot. And I'm like, you're like a fucking 4.5, you know, and it's like. But I have blonde hair and fake tits. It's like, and an attitude to match. Fake attitude. It's a thinker. There's people that have just, you know, hit like their fucking, you know, peak in high school and then realize that the real world is not at all what they thought it was going to be. And now they're out here fucking just being a menace.
Choosing. They haven't bothered to improve themselves.
Whatever.
Now, if you peak in high school, you think less of yourself.
I mean, I've never peaked, ever. The only time I peak is like, you know, when you're getting naked. Like, oh, look, she's getting, oh my God.
I feel like that's a pretty good peak.
It's a pretty good peak. But this weekend, I am at Dragon Man's at the Freedom Shoot, gun show, and shooting a fuckload of guns. So, like, today, when I'm recording it, was the first day. And to say I shot a lot of fucking guns would be an understatement. I shot a lot of fucking guns. I shot 50. I shot a Gatling gun. Then I looked at how much that Gatling gun cost. $5,000. Nah. I'm like, I want to buy one of these. And it's like, people should do that with kids. Where they pick up a baby and they're like, I want one of these. And then they look at the price tag and like, oh, put that down. No. I'm going to buy condoms. These are affordable. And like, not have kids. But people will be like, I want one. And if I was that irresponsible and like went out and bought a $5,000 fucking Gatling gun for no reason, you know, I think my wife would be upset with me.
I wouldn't care.
It would ruin our lives.
It would?
We'd lose a house.
For a gun?
Yeah.
Okay.
See?
Maybe not.
See? Be awful. But I've been out there looking at suppressors, talking to fucking, you know, representatives, trying to get more Republicans in office out here in Colorado, which I fully agree with. And all the charts and research that this lady did, I feel terrible because she's like, look at these retarded Republicans that spent all their money on canvassing, you know, door to door. I'm like, if someone comes to my fucking door, I'm not answering it unless I want to. I don't know why you're spending money on this horseshit. I'm like, get a TikTok account. Put Republicans on a TikTok account. It would be... Actually, don't do that. Do it. Yeah, fuck it. Who cares? You know, get them guns and be like, yeah, we're gonna blow shit up, and people get excited. But yeah, I'm out there shooting guns. So if you're it, in fact, this comes out. if you're in Colorado Springs area, next year is going to be the 33rd annual fucking Freedom Shoot. And just around this time next year, so fucking set an alarm. Go to dragonmans.com or whatever the fuck it is. Just Google it. And it's great. Now I need to go in and fucking shoot more guns tomorrow. Go do a museum tour tomorrow. And go claim a prize that I won. Like, as I left, I like, oh, cool, this thing shuts down in an hour. I'm going to leave before, you know, the mass exodus. And, like, I get home and I'm like, I really hope I don't win a prize. 2 seconds later, text comes in. You've won the raffle. Fuck me. So I text it back. I'm like, can I just come in tomorrow? I'll be there tomorrow. And they're like, yeah, you can just come back in tomorrow. I'm like, cool. I'm going to do that.
You know what you're going to win.
I'm going to win like a gun cleaning kit, which I went with my friend Tron. You might remember him from my other podcast. This might come back for, you know, a little resurgence, a little, you know, get back together. But he won a gun cleaning kit too. Like he went out and it's a cash cube. So they have all the prizes on little slips and you like grab one out of the air and you're like, yeah, what did I win? He got a gun cleaning kit. And I guarantee you I'm going to get the same gun cleaning kit. I feel like it's just all gun cleaning kits in there and they're just going to like, you know, take the rest of the prizes home.
As long as you've accepted your reality.
Yeah. I expected not to win at all. I'm like, oh, look, I'm in, like, you know, five different raffles. Like, I went to a suppressor raffle and entered into that. I, like, if I win this, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? You know, buy more guns? I mean, I can put any of the suppressors on any of my rifles, so.
Babe, hand me the beer opener.
But I got a bunch of stickers, and one gun maker, you know, got a pinup of his wife done with, like, it, you know, her tits hanging out. It's great.
I'll do that for you.
Well, I mean, see, it's that one right there.
I have great tits.
See your tits? Right there? Yeah. Look at the top. I mean, you know, it's like a cartoon. They're just, like, working on guns, and I'm like, she's not even looking at the fucking piece that she's working on. I'm like, that's not how you do that.
She's supposed to look at the audience. It's part of the thing.
I know. And there's two of them. I'm like, okay. But now my beer fridge is fucking covered in goddamn stickers.
It looks dope.
I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to, you know, get a beer fridge covered in fucking stickers. And
it's not like Sticker Bomb, which I don't like. So, like, you've got space, it's nice.
Yeah, like, I don't like, you know, stickers going over other stickers. It's right? like that's some trash.
You've wasted part of the sticker.
You know, like, there's, like, that corgi and the shark that's, like, touching, like, the fucking cat with a melted ice cream.
But it's, like, similar colors. It's fine.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some fucking stories. Because, like, I saw this one, you know, right out the fucking gate. UK's first teacherless AI classroom set to open in London. It's a private school in London that's opening a class taught by AI instead of human teachers. And they're and they're going to pay, like, about, I think it's, like, $27,000 a year to do this. Which... if it's successful, you know, it's going to devastate every teacher ever. Because if you think about it, it's like AI can, you know, give everyone individual, you know, help. Every single fucking, you know, student. And it's great. But yeah, it's... It's a college too, so it's not like, you know, fucking high school. That'd be fucked up. But it's David Game College, a private school in London. Opens its first teacherless course for 20 GCSE students, who learn using a mixture of artificial intelligence platforms on a computer and virtual reality headsets. So they'll have VR and AI to teach them shit.
But what's the class for?
Fucking didn't even read that far down. I don't even know. I think it's just for, you know, teaching whatever. A teacher doesn't really know your flaws because it has so many students. I think they're just testing it just to see if it can teach them something.
Oh, there's still be people in the room.
Well, yeah, they're testing the whole thing, but the teachers are not to, like, interfere. Yeah, the students are not left to just fend for themselves in the classroom. There'll be three learning coaches that'll be present to monitor and behavior, to monitor behavior and give support. So, like, if they go
read the next sentence.
They will also teach subjects AI currently struggles with, like art and sex education. So I think it's like everything.
I want to see a sex education class taught by AI.
So I think it's like everything. Like they're just like teaching them like GE, you know, like all the fucking classes, you know, math, science, all that bullshit. But it's just going to be done through AI and through VR.
I want a sex education through AI and VR.
I mean, I have a game.
This would be amazing.
Teach you everything about it. Your hands are penises, and I'll teach you.
Oh my god, I forgot about that game.
It's a great game.
Such a good game.
So I'm interested to see if this actually will fucking take off. You know, if you know, learning at home is something that, you know, kids can do. It, you know, if you can have a, you know, a virtual reality room where you can learn, and you know, maybe it's the learning of the future. You know, hey, fucking 30 students come into a room. Everyone put on your, you know, your VR headsets, your augmented reality headsets, or whatever the fuck they got, you know, far into the future, and start teaching kids. You know, each, you know, kid gets their own individual, like, how do you learn best? You know, are you a fucking, you know, book learner? Or are you a, you know, do it learner? And maybe, you know, teach them through games and shit.
Children.
Yeah, children. I mean, they
freaking children that are being taught.
Well, it's a college.
Oh, okay, good.
It's David Game, yeah. David Games College. And they deny that it's cheaper. They've actually
cheaper.
Well, this one's not going to be cheaper. In the future, I'm sure it could be cheaper if they can like run it without other fucking people there.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, like when you first like get into a college cast and it's like over like booked or whatever, and you go and there's like 40 students, teacher's like, okay, only these 30, and they kick the rest out. One of the classes I went to, she was like, everyone who can sit, I don't care if it's on the wall, you are here until the end. And she did that because halfway through, like 50% of the class would drop out because the class was so hard. And I was like, oh, okay.
Did you drop out?
No, I fucking got an A in that class. I worked my ass off. It was a great fucking class. It was so much fun. Okay, taking anatomy the first time was confusing, but taking it a second time was so enlightening because I had already had so much medicine behind me. Like, taking anatomy again was just an absolute pleasure. And I felt so bad watching everybody struggle. And I'm like, you don't know what I know. Oh my God. I loved anatomy the second time around was amazing. And it was easier because I was doing my nursing med and not my vet med, so I only had to learn about one species.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like AI and, like, VR and shit could, like, make, like, better doctors, too. Like, there's a game where I learned how to do surgery and replace eyeballs and stuff.
So, in the past, the best quality of a doctor was their memory of everything they read and everything they'd ever heard and attended, right? Now, the best aspect of a doctor is being able to hear words from you. They are able to look at all these different diagnoses, put them in, be able to search through a whole shit ton of medical studies to find out exactly what's going on and diagnose you faster. Like, having access to technology and being good at it is an important role in medicine now in the human world. And it's starting to become and in the vet world too. Like, having access to, like, so many studies you never had access to before and being able to search for shit and being able to reach out to, like, writers specifically, like, medicine is advancing so much due to this type of technology by leaps and bounds.
I mean, like, I love technology. Like, there's Surgeon Simulator, but, like, I, like, looked it up, and apparently there is, like, an actual fucking medical thing for the Oculus Quest 2.
Ooh, nice.
And it's, like, a true fucking game or something for it, which is very cool.
Oh, this is definitely the way of, like, the future, is incorporating it through this. Like, this is how it's going to be until robots take over and then we're taught what they want to teach us.
But, yeah, no, it's, like, you know, human anatomy VR. And it's a free lab. You know, body map, medical holodeck.
So the point of this is you learn what everything looks like. You learn what stuff looks like when you cut into it. But what you're not learning is how it feels when you cut into it, how you have to be delicate with different types of tissue.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you're getting book knowledge, but you're not getting physical knowledge, and that's where this fails.
Well, here's the great thing, is they are actually working on new technology to, like, add gloves to VR. So, like, when you, like, go too far, like, you can actually pick up a cube and, like, the gloves will, like, lock in around the cube or, like, you know, give you, like, a squishy ball and, like, you know, yes, you don't have to fucking be revving your bikes at fucking 9 o'clock at night.
They're so cool, babe. Aren't you, like, super hard for them?
No. But, like, they can, like, give you a ball and have, like, the gloves, you know, like, restrict your movement so it's just a squishy ball in your hand and you can actually feel it. Now you can break through that and, you know.
Yeah, if you can do that, then 100%.
Break the illusion, but.
And at that point, all you need to understand is the social structure of the clinic you're walking into. I saw this video of this one dude, he does, like, laparoscopic surgery, and he was, like, folded. He made, like, a origami crane with the laparoscopic hands, and it was so cool to watch. And I'm like, oh, that shit is, like, that type of technical. Like, legit. I knew it was legit, but I was, like, legit. Because I don't see that in my side of veterinary medicine. I'm not in GI.
See, I love watching them skin a grape and then, you know, like, put it, like, skin two grapes and then put the skin from one grape on, like, another grape.
It's so fun to watch.
I'm like, oh, good for you. And then they stitch it back closed. I'm like, good for you.
So much fun to watch.
Practicing their ambidexterity or whatever. They need to be able to perform really shit.
You can't fuck up on that shit.
Have you seen the ones where they fold origami cranes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what we just talked about.
Oh, I didn't hear you guys say the origami. I just heard the grape. I don't know why. I zoned in on it once you mentioned it.
Oh my God, Courtney, you're ignoring me, but listening to my husband, like, rude.
Sorry.
It's awful. Like, the cord for my headphones, like, finally, like, broke.
Do you hear the music?
No. It, like, bent. Like, the fucking end of the cord, like, bent.
Oh, snap.
That sucks.
Yeah, so I have to go buy a new one. I just use my, like, wife's when, like, I'm in here. like playing games, and I don't want to have to like, you know, like stand insanely still so my headphones work. But on to the next story. So good luck to UK. America will never do that. 10-year-old girl in Japan becomes the youngest person certified to prepare poisonous pufferfish.
Aw, like you bring your daughter to school day?
Like, it takes years and years to fucking be certified. So I'm like, this is impressive because like fugu in like Japan, like they don't just be like, oh yeah, you know, anyone can fucking take an online AI course and fucking get fine. But fifth grader Corinne Tabira, passed a test this summer that means she's now certified to slice and gut the fish for consumption. She recently used her new skills to serve a platter of paper-thin slices of fugu sashimi to the governor of southern Kumamoto, where she lives. I was happy when the governor said "oshi," meaning delicious in Japanese. She told reporters there was an event where she made the dish. She was among 60 people, mostly professional chefs, who passed the test in the Yamaguchi region. Of the 93 people who tried,
who applies besides the chefs? Because it says mostly.
Well, anyone can apply.
Cool.
I mean, obviously, this fucking little 10-year-old girl wasn't a professional chef, but, yeah, she just, you know, did it. And imagine fucking, you know, being, like, one of those, like, 30-some-odd people that did not make it, and, like, a 10-year-old girl beat you. You're just getting made fun of forever.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I would. I'd make fun of you. I'm like, you got beat by a girl, a little girl. And it's like, you can't even fucking do anything right, idiot. But yeah, their blood is very fucking poisonous.
Wow.
Occasionally, unlicensed individuals eat fugu caught in the sea and die.
Yeah.
Yamaguchi does not have an age limit to take the fugu test.
Wow.
But she can only do it when she's accompanied by a licensed adult.
Oh, there we go.
And she passed it her first time, too.
Yeah, of course she did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like this. Fucking hats off to this girl. Like, it's not just like, you know, oh, I fucking passed like a sushi test. This is, you know, this is fucking, you know, good job, Corinne. You know, you did great. You know, like, no American child could ever do something like that. So, you know, you got us beat. Let's go. I pulled that one up. New Las Vegas police arrest a pastor with guns and drugs in his hotel room.
Yeah,
this is why, like, you know, I feel like church is a bullshit thing.
Was it a Elvis pastor? Please tell me it was Elvis.
They arrested an evangelical pastor for allegedly having guns and drugs in a hotel room in an incident that initially sparked a counterterrorism response. David McGee, 61 years old, faces gun and drug related event. Jesus Christ, I hate when the ads come in, even though I have ad block. Gun and drug related charges. At the Strat Hotel Casino and Tower. Like, I don't know why you would fucking bring a gun to Vegas. Like, it's the dumbest thing you can do.
It's evangelical. They're like the cat. They're like the immersion vert. The American version of Catholic, of Catholicism.
Yeah, no, I'm well aware who these dumb fucking idiots are, but it's like,
it's impressive.
You know, like, they see you fucking bringing in a gun. Like, they see you bringing in a giant case. You know, if you're gonna bring a gun into a hotel room, do it in a suitcase, like a normal fucking human.
Oh
yeah. You know, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he had it in a guitar case. On August 20th, drug and counterterrorism detectives responded to the hotel after McGee reported a piece of property missing. Documents say McGee told the police he was visiting Las Vegas from North Carolina and had arrived in a private jet to find his daughter. Yeah, this is why fucking religion is bullshit.
Oh my god.
When officers asked McGee if he had any weapons in the room, he reportedly replied, "Yes, I have a gun in my guitar case." Documents said hotel employees had previously warned McGee about the policy after he had brought a shotgun into his room days earlier. The discovery of the firearms, including an AR-15 with a scope, prompted responding officers to suspect McGee was planning a 1 October style shooting. I don't know what that means.
I also don't know what that means.
Since the 2017 mass shooting, Metro Police have investigated suspicious situations where multiple firearms are located. I think he's talking about the Mandalay Bay shooting.
Oh.
Where the dude, you know, was shooting out his fucking window and, you know, killed a bunch of people.
Cool.
And then killed himself.
Excellent. Yeah. Best situation.
Don't fucking do that. Like, don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. I can't do the gravelly voice suspicious.
McGee advised a detective that he brought fentanyl from North Carolina on his private jet and paid approximately $1,000. McGee stated he was a user. What?
Why would you even say, you don't talk when you've done stupid shit. You get
they found the fentanyl pills and powder. And he said that he had brought it and paid $1,000. And that he was a user of fentanyl and intended to distribute the fentanyl to his daughter when he locates her. I feel like his daughter is, like, homeless in Vegas.
Oh, I don't think there is a daughter.
No, there's probably a daughter.
I don't know.
I mean, he came in a private jet, so... But there's a bunch of... So, in Vegas, there's an underground city. Like, an underground... Like, they're called the Mole People.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And there's storm drains underneath Vegas to, you know, easily deal with, you know, any floodwaters that would come through. And they're rather big. So people...
Las Vegas is a flood zone?
It can be, yeah.
What?
But people go down there and live in these tunnels. They, you know, drag down fucking mattresses or whatever and just live in the fucking tunnels and then come up and, you know, perform for people to get money and then come back down. And the police occasionally have to go down there and evict everyone out because it is technically a flood area, but they don't have the resources to continuously go down there and kick everyone out. And since they are out of the way, they kind of just turn a blind eye to it, and it's a whole thing.
They just wait for the floods to wash them all out.
I mean, they're big, so they'll just get wet. It's fine.
That's what she said.
So... You know, best of luck to this dude. He'll probably get out of jail here in a few years and join his daughter as one of the Mole People.
If there's a daughter. I'm not convinced.
I'm sure there is. But a drunk Las Vegas woman stole a coffin with a body from a funeral home.
What if this was his daughter?
In the coffin. This is why he went crazy and just started doing fentanyl. Because some lady just stole. So on August 27th, Patricia Sierra, 47 years old, broke into the affordable cremation and burial home in 2127 West Charleston Boulevard and stole a coffin containing a human body. Like, affordable cremation? Like, fucking make a better name than that.
Oh my God!
Surveillance footage showed the woman breaking through a window, unlocking the front door, before proceeding to enter the property's viewing room and wheel a coffin outside. Sierra apparently dumped the body outside the funeral home. After that, she left the coffin as well and fled the crime scene. At around 3:30 a.m., 911 receives a report of a body laying in front of affordable cremation and burial.
Don't say her name again.
Authorities rushed to the scene and identified the deceased remains. They learned that the body had arrived at the funeral home on August 20th and had a viewing day before getting stolen and thrown outside.
The viewing day happened before the body being stolen, right?
The what?
The viewing happened before. Oh, thank God. Do they have their prices posted online?
Now I kind of gonna want to know how much.
I need to know what their cost is.
Let's go. Oh God, I have to.
Affordable crematory. I just can't.
No,
oh my God.
Mochi.
Oh my God.
Now I have to, like.
What better defines the working middle class than that? Honest to God. Ooh, their website's pretty.
They have a good website.
They have a good website. Isn't it awful how much of an impression you take from a company's website?
I'm playing it. I have to fucking, like, go in and, like.
You have to, like, submit all your information and wait for a phone call for a quote. I hate that shit.
That's the worst.
And what are all those pictures of dead people?
Yeah, that's obituaries.
Who has the... Oh, my God. Who chooses a dove as their picture on a website where they were...
Well, I mean, if they want to remain private.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. I retract my word heel.
Yeah. I mean, these are dead people. Be respectful of them. It's fine.
Why?
Because...
Their bodies no longer exist and their souls have moved on to the next level.
How do you know? Maybe they're going to come after us because we made fun of them on a podcast.
Ghosts have some influence on the world, but not that much.
Is it going to be like... They have free?
I say that, and yet I still align myself with the we're in a giant computer program, so I'm contradicting myself here. I need to pick one or the other.
Well, let's see what the fucking Google... Oh, Mochi, stop that.
Programming.
I just trimmed her nails. Her biscuits are already sharp again?
Yeah, she's very fucking good at...
Oh my God. I just trimmed her nails last week. Don't give me that look, Chi-Chi.
They actually have 4.9 stars.
Oh, shit!
They actually have really good reviews.
That's legit.
From Mark Deanna, Erica and the entire staff at Affordable are the most caring and sympathetic people. Very personalized, yet professional. They took great care of my mother-in-law 25 years ago and my beloved wife, Beth, in June. I'm going to make sure my children contact them when my time is out. Thank you, Affordable. You're awesome. Yeah.
This is dope as fuck. Okay, so 60% of clients will leave a clinic after their pet is euthanized there. Like, they'll go find another clinic afterwards. We have an 80% return client profile at my clinic. Like, we put down their cats and they still come back. Like, whatever we're doing it right.
Said their rates were very good. What are their rates, you asshole piece of shit?
You have to put
shit.
In all your information, accept the cookies, get their call, and then get all the fucking solicitor calls.
All right, let's see what... Apparently someone... Oh, there's a place, I think, called Affordable Cremations or something on South Durango, and my father-in-law...
What?
It was under $1,000. A family
you
member...
Know, you need to find this place in Durango, babe.
Well, no. It was on set in Vegas.
Oh.
r/Vegas locals.
Well,
a family
still.
Member just got a quote from them. It was $700, including an urn.
Oh, shit. This urns is, are expensive.
I just get you like a pine box.
No, you're putting me in the ocean, remember? Or you're donating my body to science. Now I'm kind of torn.
This is actually, well, if you donate your body to science, it's like free. And they'll just like come and take you. It's great.
But you still won't fuck my dead body.
I will not, no.
God.
I don't know why you think that's, like, weird.
Because I'm going to fuck your dead body. Why would you not fuck my dead body? I don't understand.
I think the doctors will, like, pull you off.
No, this makes me feel unloved. Like, do you even love me?
I mean, not enough to fuck your dead body.
I don't know how I feel about this. Like, I would fuck your dead body.
I mean, like, fucking $700, including an urn. I might just, like, fucking Weekend at Bernie's someone out there just to have to pay $700. It's like the best way to do it. This isn't bad at all.
No, it's not. It's not. It's pretty fucking good considering we charge $450 for a private cremation because that's how much the crematorium charges us. At my clinic, we make no money on our euthanasias. We do them at fucking cost. It's bullshit how much crematoriums cost for private cremations.
This one in Henderson. I paid $750 in the spring for a relative. Buy an urn on Amazon. They're a lot cheaper.
Yes, buy your urns on Amazon. They're so fucking cute.
You need to order your own death certificates. I love how... I don't know. Why would they give you a death certificate?
They're when someone dies, you get a death certificate so you can take it to like banks and credit cards to prove that this person is dead. My grandma had to do it, and it was awful because for some reason the state fucked up, and it took like an extra 6 months for my grandma to get my grandpa's death certificate. And so like all his credit cards and shit and like all, like everything was like calling my grandma like all the time, like bothering her because she could not prove that her husband was dead without access from a piece of paper from the government. It was awful. Fuck death certificates. I'm a little cotton mouth. I apologize.
That's fine.
Right.
Well, let's go on to, you know, am I the asshole? Let's finish off. So, yeah, this woman, she was drunk at the time. Someone fucking recognized her and turned her ass in. She remains in custody. Her bail is set at $11,000. So if someone has, like, $1,100... they can get her out. A preliminary hearing has been scheduled for September 18th. So
in 9 days.
You know, for the woman that stole a body.
Although in a week from now, will it be what, 2?
I don't know. I mean, this comes out tomorrow, so.
I don't know. I can't math.
It's fine. Now onto Am I the Asshole? By Just Done 50. Am I the asshole for ending a 2-year relationship because she got a boob job? I, 36 male, met my now ex, 34 female, a little over 2 years ago. During that time, the idea of her getting a boob job came up a few times. She asked if I'd ever dated anyone with them and what I thought of them. I told them that I had, and I'm not a fan at all, and they are a deal-breaker for me. About this time last year, she asked what I thought about her getting a boob job. She said she was feeling a bit self-conscious and wanted something bigger. I told her she can do what she wants with her body. I'm not going to tell her no, because it's not my place. If getting the boob job would help her self-confidence and self-image, then it's something she might want to consider. Just that choices have consequences, and if she did get the boob job, I would leave. She laughed and thought I was kidding. The idea came up a few more times, and the answer was the same each time. At the end of July, her sister came to visit her and was going to stay for a while. This isn't unusual, especially when I have a longish work trip coming up. A week later, I left for the work trip that lasted about 2.5 weeks. I get home the next day and her sister comes over to my place. It was obvious what she did. As I was gone, she was at least 2 cup sizes bigger. We hang out for a bit and I tell her I'm tired. It was a long trip. She tells me that she'll come over tomorrow to check in on me and we'll go out to lunch and do a bit of shopping. After thinking about it for the evening, I decided it was a deal breaker for me. I went over to her place with a box of her stuff, grabbed my stuff, and left a copy of her keys on the table. As I was leaving, they rolled him. He went inside, and I told her I was leaving, that the surgery was a deal breaker for me, and it's not something I can live with. It turned into a big argument, and I wished her the best at the end and left after about 15 minutes. For the last week, she's been blowing up my phone, switching between "baby, I miss you" and "you fucking loser." Her sister has been calling me everything under the sun except my name. Am I sad I left? Yeah, I did like her a lot, but fake boobs are a super turnoff for me, and I don't think I could have been happy, nor do I think it's something that I would come to like. I hope she is happy, and I hope they help her with her self-esteem, but I couldn't be a part of that.
What the fuck is wrong with getting a boob job?
I mean,
like, what's the difference?
Like, imagine, like, you know how, like, your boobs are squishy?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like a solid lump.
They're not, though. I felt my sister's boobs feel like mine.
Yeah. No, they're not as bad as they used to be. And, like, yeah. I think it's, like, what, 10% of surgeries lose nipple sensation now? Like, it's come a long way.
Like, it's not fake.
Yeah.
And you have to get them redone, like, every 10 years, too.
So what? If you're in your 50s and then you're in your 60s, who gives a shit about your boobs at that point? Besides you. And if then you want it, go fucking get it. Mm-hmm. Anesthesia's not bad till you're, like, you're in your 70s. Like, don't let doctors tell you otherwise.
My wife's not a doctor, so don't let her tell you either.
I've done surgery on 21-year-old cats, okay?
Well, let's see what the comments say. I say no.
I'm going with not the asshole, by the way.
This dude, not the asshole. You're up front with her about how you felt, and it's on her if she felt you were kidding. Her body, her choice, but you're still entitled to your own opinions and preferences in a relationship, which you made clear.
Yep.
Either way, she's going to steamroll you into accepting it or don't believe you when you said it multiple times. Actions have consequences.
Yep. OP was up front.
Yeah, everyone's saying not the asshole. Yeah, everyone is just saying not the asshole. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you could have, you know, given it a chance, you know, given him a fucking, you know, a whirl.
I mean, he's just a small titty guy.
I mean, you know, he's 36, so he's like my age. You could have given it a whirl, seen if you liked it. But obviously there was deeper problems just other than her tits. Like, if her tits were the only reason you left, that's weird. But
yes.
I feel like there was, like, personality fucking things and just...
You're right, there was something under the covers besides just tits. I agree with you.
You know, the fact that she did something, you know, even though you're like, I don't like that.
Well, she didn't clearly communicate that she was going to get it done. She just sprung him on him, which is not the way to go about it. That's just, like, forcing someone to accept it, as opposed to being like, yo, BT-dubs, I'm going to get this done. Are you cool or not? Because if not, we're going to break it beforehand, not afterwards.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I think we're going to go not the asshole here.
Oh, 100%.
Good job, bud. You did what you had to do. And then this one is relationship advice for a throwaway. This one is dark as fuck. How do I, 25 female, tell my parents, 56 female and 59 male, that I'm dying?
Oh.
As the title says, really, using a throwaway because my main can be identified. My 25 female parents, and I are really close emotionally, but not geographically. They live abroad, and I see them a couple times a year. We speak pretty much every day. A few months ago, I've been getting some weird symptoms, unexplained weight loss, fatigue, abdominal pain, etc. Went to the doctor, who referred me for more tests because I didn't want to worry my parents before we knew anything to worry about. My partner, 27 male, together 10 years, and I kept it to ourselves. Many tests later, including some very uncomfortable scans and a biopsy, turns out I have incurable bowel cancer.
Oh my God, that hurts so bad.
And I have a year or so at most, which sucks.
So bad. It hurts so bad.
No one knows except my partner, and I want to tell my parents so it's not a complete shock to them when I see them in a few months. I'm due to visit in November, and I really want that visit to be as happy as it can be. And also, I need them. How the hell do I approach this conversation? It doesn't feel like something I can just drop on a phone call, but the thought of flying out to them to tell them, it's pretty daunting. Also, for my partner's sake, I want to tell them soon. Aside from me, he's the only one who knows. Didn't want a well-meaning relative from his side posting something on social media or any risk of my family hearing it from anyone else. This is really hard on him. He needs someone other than me he can talk to about it. Any advice would be welcome. So thank you.
OP, obviously you're not going to hear my opinion, but call them now. It's okay to say it over the phone. Get it out. This is just building, and if you don't tell them till months down the road, it's going to hurt them so much more than if you told them now.
Tell them on, wait till Halloween. Tell them on Halloween. I feel like that's the play. Like, hey, it's spooky time. Also, I have a year to live. And they'll be like, wait, what? I'm going to die in a year.
So tell them sooner so they'll spend more time with you physically.
Or go do some crazy shit. Like, you know, get kidnapped by, like, you know, fucking Somali pirates.
Okay, I saw this, like, weird study, and it was and this, okay, this, like, whatever, like, interviewer, he asked a person, how many times do you see your dad a year? And he's like, well, one or two times, because they're apart, and they go fishing together on his birthday, and then on his dad's birthday. And the dude was like, okay, so if your dad dies in 10 years, you only have 20 more times to be with him. And, like, that's stuck with me ever since. Like, if you're dying, tell the people around you. Otherwise, they're only going to have that set amount of time, and that time will be wasted on both sides.
Yeah. So, like, is he, like, does he never make time at all? Or she?
I mean, they talk every day on the phone, but they live in different countries. So, you know, going, you know, just... It's not a drive. It's a fucking, you know, getting a visa, getting a passport, all that shit to, you know, go see.
Oh, go down to the first comment, because I read the first sentence and I was intrigued.
All right, so comments. If I was to receive this news from my daughter, I'd actually prefer it to be on a phone call. This would allow me to process the news without the need or desire to protect her from my pain. I wouldn't have to worry about adding to her pain because of facial expressions or tears. I'd only have to focus on my words. And I'd want to know as soon as possible without delay. When time is short, every day matters. You have written this out, and it's an excellent kind to do. It's hard to know where to start, but just starting is... the key. Mom, Dad, I need to talk to you about something that's serious. I haven't been feeling well, and I've had some tests. I didn't want to worry about you, but the results confirmed cancer, and the prognosis is not good. Let them grasp at this for a moment, because that in itself is a lot to get your head around. Imagine they'll start asking questions about treatments. It does suck that you're going to die in a year. But, yeah. Like, I every day I wake up And I'm like, today could be the day that I die. And I live with that. I truly do. I'm like, I've lived a good life. And if I die on the road, the house is paid. I'm like, yeah. But I don't have kids, so I'm not the one to really, you know, give advice. But call your parents. Let them know. Let them, you know, send them a letter. You know, like handwrite, you know, a letter explaining what's going on. Send that to them. You'll know when they get it. You'll know the second they get it. They'll call you. And then you can deal with it from there.
Yeah.
I told you this was going to end super fucking dark, too.
Yeah, this is depressing.
I know. But sometimes, you know, feeling depressing emotions is a good thing.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine my parents caring this much about me.
Yeah. I don't know.
See, like it's going to be awful. Like, some cop is going to call my wife and be like, hey, your husband was in an accident.
You think this is going to make me feel better?
And he killed 17 people. He's fine.
Health complications.
Or you can just, like, go to a fucking, you know, monk in, like, the fucking Andes or something. And, like, you know, do some, like, Doctor Strange bullshit and hopefully that works. Stick a crystal in your butt. I don't know.
How is Doctor Strange different from Batman?
So, they have a weird ritual where they, like, basically starve themselves to death and, like, they purposely take poison and they kill all the bacteria throughout their whole body. And supposedly when they're done with the process and they're underground for a certain amount of time and they don't decay, they're seen to be immortal when really you just killed all the bacteria that is on their body and they can't decay because they haven't been exposed to it. So I just find it super weird.
Yeah, it's mummies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do what you need to do, OP. I feel like you're just getting this news, so you're just now dealing with it. I do have a bunch of friends that did survive cancer. They did get cut in half. Well, not all of them, but one of them got cut in half. They fixed her right up. She has a really cool scar. And she shows it off like a fucking battle wound. It's like on her midriff. And she's like, yeah, look at this. She's also my bartender, too, so. But we'll go ahead and end there on that very depressing note.
You don't have a Florida story or some shit?
What do you want me to tell, like, a funny story?
Dear pest.
Okay, I can recover from this. I always am good.
Let's see it.
Okay.
Clap.
Clap. So, you know, yesterday, I got home, and I'm like, okay, I need to do an oil change on my truck. I need to fucking get this shit done. So I go down to Advanced Auto Parts and I get some oil. Boom, bring it home. I already have my filter. I'm already good. I'm like, yeah. And I get everything ready and, you know, go to grab my filter. And there's the biggest fucking spider in my truck. Built a fucking web. Built an immaculate fucking web. And it's just like hanging like 3 inches from my filter. like looking at me like, ta-da, I did that shit. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, you're technically not breaking any laws, so I'm not going to kill you. But I need you the fuck out of here. Like, I treated it like a fucking, you know, refugee. I'm like, you know, you're not like a illegal, dirty Mexican, but I don't want you here. So I like, you know, grabbed it and threw it outside my truck into like a bunch of brush, which I'm sure is going to backfire on me supremely. And I drain all the oil out of my truck. I'm like, yeah, cool. That goes great. And then I go to my filter and I like grab it. And I'm like, okay, that's not coming easy. And then I grab a wrench and I put the wrench on it. I'm like, okay, that's still not coming easy. And so I grab like my little filter wrench and I grab that. I crank on that. And I'm like, it hasn't moved. Like it's glued the fuck on there. And I'm starting to panic a little bit because my truck now has no oil and like an old oil filter on, and I put a massive dent into it already. And so I like go and, you know, grab like the last hope fucking, you know, channel locks to, you know, grab my oil filter, and I like, you know, immediately start piercing it. So like if this goes bad, you know, it the truck is essentially done. And so I'm like cranking on this, using like all my might. It's still not fucking coming. And I am panicking, having a major panic attack at this point. And I'm like, I put all my body weight on this fucking filter and I feel like start to slightly give. I'm like, oh, thank God. And like, it, you know, eventually after like 20 minutes, I get this filter that should only be like hand tight. Like you should like, you know, use like all your hand strength to tighten it. Like that's it. That's all it should ever be on there. And I get it the fuck off there. And I put on, you know, the new filter. And I dump in all the oil. And to only realize I put on the wrong filter.
Beep, no, you didn't tell me that.
Well, I had two filters. And it's fine, like they'll work, but like they're two, like one was like a lower quality filter and I put that shit on my truck because I was just frustrated.
Will your truck live?
Yeah, of course it will.
That's all that matters.
I'll just make sure I do an oil change soon. But that's it, you know. That joke will never, you know. That's not even a joke. That's just real life.
Yeah, it kind of fell flat. One less clap.
Okay, well, I fucking was just talking about a dead woman. Like a walking dead woman. Like a fucking zombie chick.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I'm still upset you won't fuck my dead body.
So weird.
No, it's not. I deserve reciprocity.
Courtney, if you had a husband, would you want him to fuck your dead body?
No.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for being a normal person.
What the fuck?
Alex is weird.
She is.
Don't worry. I'm on your side in this.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Courtney. Oh my God.
Holy shit. I've been looking for my motorcycle helmet for like 2 weeks now. I just like look over and I see it immediately. I can see it from where I'm sitting right now. Like I got all, like the other day I got all my motorcycle gear on. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking get on my bike and go to work. Could not find my fucking helmet. Not for the life of me. I'm like, I need the helmet. And I look over and I'm, it's just like, you know, mocking me right now. I'm like, thanks. We're gonna end on that. That's real life. That just legitimately really just happened. Fuck my life. Whatever. Bye. Follow me on Instagram, Alex the Truck. I'm there. I don't care. Bye.